presented by that time I got reincarnated in the same world as an anime podcaster, this is Shonen Jumping the Gun, the show where we set our sights on the first chapter of a manga and decide if it's a misfire or a bullseye.
Let's see how many rounds are in this magazine.
We'll keep it in the family with today's episode, which is Astro Royale. Welcome, everybody. I am head chairman of the Shonen Jumping the Gun family, Kermit the Grog. And I am joined by the head chairman of the Anime Podcaster Reincarnation Family, Isekai Sensei-sama. Brad, how you doing?
Well, I'm here for this, I'll tell you that.
You're here? Hi, everybody. We're covering Astro Royale. It was like a Yakuza thing, so we wanted the Yakuza thing. Doom, doom. But yeah, we're covering Astro Royale. Literally, like, just dropped hours ago at time of recording. What's today's date? Let me get today's date correctly. This is one of those that we know right now at time of recording on April 14th, the chapter has been out for just about 7 hours
yesterday
in America.
What are we recording tomorrow? And Kermit goes, we're recording this one and this one that hasn't come out yet. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay.
I need you to write this summary for the thing that you have to wait until tomorrow.
By the way, can you write the summary for it? Okay.
I guess with that, do we want to jump on in?
I guess so. Yeah. I guess it's time to bite the bullet.
Oh, it's time to bite the bullet with Kermit's speedrun summary. Oh man, can we mess with that even more?
Well, I mean, that's specific to this series.
Yeah. It's time to bite the bullet as Kermit fans the hammer on this summary. We open on some strange-looking rocks flying through space and quickly cut to a boy riding his bike while listening to the news about said rocks being a meteor shower that will apparently grant wishes. No, you will not be getting an explanation of how anyone can know that they grant wishes, which obviously they will, due to us seeing the same boy with some kind of magic arm as we turn to the splash page, among other people that probably also have weird powers. We are introduced to the boy, who is Hibaru Yatsuguri. Oh, this is why Brad's a professional. He has put in the phonetic saying of this. Hibaru Yotsurogi. There you go. I'm going to butcher it the next time. The only son of the Yatsuguri family's boss. Hibaru is confronting an old man and demanding protection money. But no, it turns out it's just play acting, and the old man gives Hibaru protection money in the form of some gum or candy thing that I think has Felix the Cat on it. It's Felix the Cat. To which Hibaru gives him back protection in the form of a 10 yen coin. So just, it's commerce. Hibaru's adopted brother, the 12th one, Teresu, asks him when he's going to stop playing around at being a hoodlum and take off the classic style robe called a hoppy.
Yeah.
That's how I said it in my mind's brain. Especially today being their father's funeral. Hibaru replies that he wants everyone to remember who his father was, and his clothes are awesome, so there. To which Teresu questions if Hibaru understands the position he's in. They reach the place the funeral is being held, where they are confronted by the 11th adoptive son, who tries to start some shit, but is quickly shot down by Teresu. And this kid does nothing else the whole chapter, so who cares what his name is? This scene is here to show you how close Hibaru and Teresu are, and how their dynamic of kind, strong, but hot-headed, and smart, but too pragmatic works well. Agreed. During the funeral, we're introduced to a bunch of other adopted kids that we'll also not go into detail on now, but I'm sure they'll be important in later chapters. But that is why we're here. There's a lot of banter about how Hibaru is dressed and how he can't be the next family head. Then Hibaru goes up to give a speech and announce the last words of his father that proclaimed he would take over the family. As the only biological son and the obvious inheritor of his father's spirit, of course he announces that Teresu will be the successor and new family head. Everybody freaks out, including Teresu. I think we should also mention in here, unless you do it later, that the first adoptive son is like super high in the running. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's gonna be that guy.
It doesn't come up again in this chapter, so.
True, but enough people talked about it, and him being the first one felt important, as opposed to that like 12th one where it was just like starting shit. Hibaru reminds Teresu of the little tokens they have and how they're going to shape the future together. We get a flashback of when Hibaru was much younger and his dad, Kongo, was instilling his strong morals as a Yakuza by beating up people who were harassing some people in his territory. We get a metaphor of his fist being a bullet with his forearm being filled with gunpowder. That will be important later. I wasn't super clear, like, I'm assuming it was metaphorical, but he described it in, like, my arm's full of blasting cap, and I'm like, that's a weird way to put that if it wasn't literal, but he's joking. He's talking metaphorically. I don't know.
Strange. He's also talking to his, like, three- or four-year-old son, so.
He's got, like, a pistol punch. He's Luffy-like. We're also given an explanation about why there are so many adopted siblings, because Hibaru's dad just can't help but take care of people, even if those people grow up to be big old jerks in the future. We then get a much less far flashback to when Kongo was about to die. Hibaru and Teresu rush to the hospital and are the only ones in the room as Kongo hands over some tokens, a bullet and a shield, and tells them that the successor should be... Hibaru! Shock! Mystery! Ah! Cut back to the present and Hibaru and Teresu are relaxing in an onsen. Nice. Onsen means plan. Teresu questions why Hibaru lied and didn't take the position of family head himself, like their dad wanted. Hibaru tells him that the family will split up if he takes over, because he doesn't have the connections he needs yet, but that Teresu will do a good job. Oh, by the way, those meteors are here now. Which they are both reminded of when an old man shouts about it. Everyone rushes outside in time to see them falling. The rumor is that if you hold an important item and make a wish... you'll get something cool. So Hibaru holds his token, a bullet, tightly, and wishes to be the strongest Yakuza ever. And then one of the meteors actually hits the ground and destroys the city. The end. Oh, sorry, there was more chapter. Oh, wait! Actually, there's a huge explosion that makes the house go flying and land on top of Teresu, who pushes Hibaru out of the way at the last second. At this moment, as Hibaru is watching Teresu be crushed, a voice speaks to him and grants him his wish. It says, Astro. But we're not given any additional information about that. Hibaru looks around to see the building lying where Teresu just was, so he has a flashback about them connecting with each other and vowing to support each other. Since he doesn't have time for a lengthy flashback, after just one page, we cut back to the present as Hibaru beats on the building trying to move it so we can get to Teresu. This obviously doesn't work since it's a strong building that stayed intact after an explosion, strong enough to send it flying through the air, so Hibaru breaks his hand. But then his bullet flies up in front of his eyes, and he remembers that his dad told them it was made from the strongest bullet in the world. Mustering all of his shonen protagonist energy, Hibaru grabs the bullet to hold while punching, which is what his dad used to do, and then has a two-page spread hallucinating about his dad telling him to just punch all of his problems. It's at this moment that Hibaru's new space powers kick in, and his arm gets a cool pattern and does some stuff that can be considered how a bullet works, I guess. With his fist! He punches the wall again and makes the building go flying. It turns out Teresu is fine, because of course he is, and was saved by being in a hole that was under the building. This probably has to do with Teresu having powers as well, but there isn't any indication of that right now. Good catch, I didn't think about that. They are all shocked at Hibaru's power, especially since he's now got an arm tattoo. Well, he did say he wanted to be a Yakuza. They have a tearful hug now that they are all safe, but then see that the entirety of Tokyo was destroyed by the blast, after which Hibaru passes out from how much shonen energy the series has seeping out of it. As the reach we end, we get a montage of lots of other people also getting weird powers. I see you in there, Luffy. All of which have the same black alien-like design as Hibaru's, seeming to indicate that there will be some kind of battle royale within the ruins of Tokyo. An Astro Royale, if you will. Top marks, Isekai Sensei-sama there for that summary. Thank you, Brad. Before we went in to get into it, I just want to say, if I had a nickel for every shonen manga I read recently with the name Astro in it, where an asteroid crashed to Earth, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird it happened twice in such quick succession. So yeah, I was really charmed by this series. I like it. I'm generally really interested in the second one. I don't know if it was because it was the first time I properly sat down all day to read it, but like, I was charmed. That opening thing where it's like he's going to shake down the old man for his protection money, and it's just he's buying a candy under the guise of it being like instantly charmed me to the character in the manga, and I was just on board the rest of the time.
That character trope of like, oh, I'm a tough guy, but like I'm really kind to people and like I protect people, and like that's my favorite shonen protagonist.
Yeah, and they showed it in a really like fun way, because at first it's the candy and I'm like, what's going on here? And then he's like, I've got something for you, and then he just holds up this little like 10 yen coin and I'm like, oh man, I love this manga already.
Yeah. I'm totally on board. I had a lot of fun with this, and like the emotional beats hit me just right. The energy, the familial energy, but also just like the way that they set everything up, it didn't overplay its hand.
Yep.
It gave you just enough stuff, which for anybody who's listened to a lot of these, you know that time and time again, I have an issue with series that either don't give you enough or give you way too much in the first chapter, and this one was just right.
We got enough. We got to meet the characters. We got some of the sense. We got like foreshadowing of, hi, here's some other people that will be important, like very clear, like they'll be important later. They have important people designs, but we're not going to spend time on them now.
Yeah, I mean,
they
give
you the structure of things.
I was being a bit cheeky with the with the not telling people's names there in the summary, but they did make a point to go, this is the 11th son, this is the first son, this is this per, and like,
well, so, yeah, some of them you do get names in their place, but some of the other ones you can like, by virtue of context clues, you can really easily go, oh, these are more of the siblings.
Yeah. There was even
siblings.
In one of the flashbacks, they had an intro card, little like title for one of the dad's like,
yeah,
underbosses.
I'm sure
or whatever.
We'll meet him later as an old man now.
Right. I'm sure he'll be important.
Like, that's like giving us enough where we're not like, what's happening? Like, totally confused. Like, I don't know what's happening. Or like, well, you just told me everything now. There's no stopping left. But just to like, set up all the intro just to the Yakuza family part of things, and then having the ability to wait, I mean, not outside of the chapter, but I don't think it should have, especially with the name it had, that it's like, it was patient in getting to the powers, I feel like. It didn't rush, didn't feel like it rushed them. I got lost in another story,
right,
and I was having a good time with it, and sometimes that can be when, like, oh, the meteor shows up, whatever the fantasy aspect of it is, like, well, go away, I just want this, but it's like, oh, we've already made this really interesting social context between just the own family, and mm-hmm. then I'm sure there's other Yakuza families doing their own thing, but now there's powers. It's not just, oh, everybody got powers, or, oh, it's just the Yakuza family. It's like, hey, here's already a bunch of intrigue and setup, and now we're throwing this extra salt and spice on it that is, okay, now almost everybody's got these crazy powers.
I think
how is this going to shake out?
It's really going to be interesting to see where they go with this, because the whole beginning, so the first like 50 pages of this are, you are in a Japanese city. I think it's Tokyo. You are going back and forth with like Yakuza stuff, and this is a family and brotherly love and all that. And then like right at the end, they're like, oh, by the way, Tokyo just got obliterated.
Remember that meteor we told you about? It's back.
So you can't have that same Yakuza story, because the city doesn't exist anymore.
But it's going to take another shape, and I think that's neat. I also like that the framing of learning about the meteor stuff is from like the news, and it's not just the narrator telling us. Like, in-universe, people knew. I mean, I guess the character has to know that to go, like, hold on to it, and you get a wish.
Which is why I was like, why would they know that? There's just some rocks out in space coming.
We'll learn at some point.
Why would they be like, it's going to grant wishes?
I just like, I love from the montage.
I mean, it could just be a superstition thing.
They describe, and I'm sure they'll go off the rails with it probably sooner than I'd like, but because it's just shown and stuff. But like, that it's the idea that like, the object you're holding would dictate what the power is. And in the montage, you can kind of piece together of like, from the situations these characters we're seeing are in, that, oh, you were holding this thing. You were doing this mundane task with this, and now you have this thing. Like, I think that's neat. Like, this series is poking and prodding my imagination. Am I going, oh man, I'm curious, like there's so much set things that were set up for us to go do. It's like getting into like a new video game that's got like a big open world that you're like excited to explore, because it's set up a firm enough foundation that you're like, I'm excited, and any direction I run in is going to have something cool that's going to build on that,
right?
So I would say this is a really strong, I would say this is one of the strongest first chapters we've seen in a while in Jump proper. This is in Jump proper. This isn't Jump Plus. This isn't somewhere else. This is in Da Magazine.
Yeah.
It has claimed Mama Yu Yu's spot, speaking of.
Which brings up an interesting point, because as I was reading this, I was like, this art style reminds me of something. And I figured it out. It's almost a mashup of Mama Yu Yu and Kagurabachi's art styles.
I could see it. It reminded me, it felt like a throwback to like a decade ago, which I guess has a style. Like, not in a bad way, just in a like a, Oh, interesting. Right. Okay. Like, it just felt like it was from another time a little bit, but not, like, ancient.
Yeah.
But yeah. Don't know. Astro Royale. Like, open and full of possibility. Like, that's what I want. I want to be excited, and I want to have a world of possibility in front of me.
Yeah.
And obviously, I can be disappointed by that, but I don't think I felt this optimistic about something starting in the magazine in a while, that I felt like I'm excited.
And I think...
Clearly.
I would say, like, I'm not necessarily like, oh my God, this is so great kind of thing. But
no.
You can see the potential there. The first chapter was fun. It was a good exploration of, you know, the relationships and the feelings that were happening, and like a character piece of Hibaru and Terasu and their interactions in their family. But also then setting up a bigger story with magic elements and or sci-fi or whatever they're going to call it. It was just, I think it was solid and fun.
It's, and I think we've been due a new, just like fun shonen series. As much as I enjoyed Kagurabachi is not the normal, whatever normal is anymore for Shonen Jump, but like, it's like early, like the My Heroes, early One Piece. So it's like before they started really fully kicking in. That's what this feels like. This feels like this is born of Jump.
Yeah,
and I think that's good. We haven't had one. Have we had one? I mean, I guess we haven't had one that landed for us since we started paying attention.
Right. Kagurabachi feels to me like sort of the next Chainsaw Man kind of thing.
It feels born of that DNA.
Whereas
it's closer to Jump than it is to Chainsaw Man, but you can see both influences in there.
Yeah, this definitely feels to me like a next My Hero Academia, a next... I don't necessarily want to compare it to like Naruto or Bleach, but there's like
his arm looks shonen... like that one guy's arm from Bleach a little bit.
Yeah.
Not in like a copying way, just then that pinged my brain.
But it's that sort of like, this feels quintessential Shonen Jump battler.
Black Clover.
Yeah.
Which admittedly is also not in the magazine anymore. And My Hero, which is ending soon. Right. So I feel like there's a hole open for a new, just a fun shonen battler.
I think, you know, we've yet to see like a real fight or anything.
No.
So we'll have to see how the mangaka treats those kind of things, because we've seen in other series, like Shadow, the first chapter of Shadow Eliminators had this where it was like, oh, I like these fight scenes.
Oh, you did.
Even though maybe the series as a whole wasn't that great. But like the way that they composed the fights and their sense of motion and everything was really good. So a mangaka can obviously be good at one thing and not at another within the whole of writing a manga.
Yeah. Some of this excitement is based on assumed ability of the writer from what I've already seen in their way to like tell a joke or frame action or make a canary, like have a character moment, emotional moment.
Yeah.
And that usually it's the things we talk that, you know, we talk about a lot of just like, you can get a sense of somebody's storytelling ability, even if you're not seeing it directly, from how they write and how they get emotional ideas across and stuff like that. And what they're setting up and how they're setting it up. And you can get a sense of that quality, which admittedly can change and for the better or for the ill over time, but like it's a good first indicator of like, you seem to know how to string together emotional beats and moments.
But I am really hopeful.
Yes, me too. I feel like we haven't been this hopeful in a while.
I mean, Astro Baby was obviously a really
Astro
good
Baby,
one.
But Astro Baby is like an outlier, and it's also in Jump Plus. It's not.
I mean, I don't know if I've been this positive on a first chapter with anything else, even though, I mean, I'm generally positive. And something like Green, Green, Greens, I was pretty happy with the first chapter.
I would say, Green,
that's
Green,
only
Greens, we were pretty jazzed about from
so
chapter
far.
One.
But obviously, this is definitely the first Shonen Battler, obvious Shonen Battler first chapter that is like, oh,
yeah.
This is like...
Give it to me. I want to eat this burger.
Right.
This well-made, fun burger.
Yeah, because your New Age Exorcist, Shadow Eliminators, those ones were, well, and the episode hasn't come out yet for... Dear Nani.
I was going to say, the last set of new ones, we've recorded them. They're in the can, but at the time of, if you're hearing this when it comes out, they're in the can, but we haven't released them yet, which I think speaks to our feelings on them.
Well, I mean,
we weren't particularly jazzed about either of them.
We have to have places to release them, and I'm not going to spoil it, but suffice to say, we weren't that happy with Dear Anemone.
Not enough to be like, put it out on the presses right now.
So yeah, I mean, I would say this is definitely, I guess I could say far and away the best Shonen Battler.
New one that we've seen so far. It gets me excited and gives me hope for the other two new series we're getting in Jump in the following weeks. So now let's get ready to play the flop pool.
And to reiterate what our different levels are, we're going to throw it over to Truxan.
Hey, everybody, it's me. It's Truxan, your friendly neighborhood Truxan. It's Truxan's World Range. So we're at the bottom. We got Dead Walking, Dead in 20 Chapters or Less, and Early Grave, like Do Retry or Candy Flurry. Next up from that, we got A Flop, Granted a Stay of Execution, Under 50 Chapters, like A Fabricant 100 or A Doran Dororan, whatever that is. Next up is It'll Live, hangs on just past Flop Zone, sub 120 chapters, like PPPPPP or Magu-chan. Then we got Solid, Sir that does well but hasn't reached its true popularity, like an Akane Banashe or Undead Unluck, can get an anime. Then we got the hit, truly popular with an anime and hundreds of chapters, like a Black Clover or an Assassination Classroom. And finally, oh my gosh, the supernova, industry shaker and shaper. Readers want to be with them, other manga want to be like them, like a Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen. And that's Truxan's Rules of the Range. Back to you.
Great. Thanks a lot, Truxan.
So, our quick draw rating. Pew, pew, pew. What's our rating for it of its survivability and Jump?
So, I'm going to go a little bit with my feelings on this one and also a little bit with what I think is actually going to happen. Because if I was going to go just my feelings...
Well, that's what the emotions are for.
Right. I would probably call this a hit, but I don't think, at least from the first chapter, I don't think it has quite what it needs. And so I'm going to call this one solid.
Same. And some of that is that little thing, but when I read the things we put in the solid category of Akane Banashe Undead Unluck, right now, again, from the first chapter, it feels like it's got that kind of energy, yeah. But we'll see. But I would say solid. But what's your emotions on it?
I'm going to say great. It's not one of those ones where I read the first chapter and I'm like, oh my God, I need more of this right now. I want everything about this. It's also not one where I'm like, oh yeah, this is really good. I'm super into it. You know, those are the two like heightened emotions that I have when I read, something that I'm really getting into. But it's definitely one where I'm like, hey, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to read this every week, and I'm going to look forward to reading it every week.
Yeah. So that's a great?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say that's a great.
I'm waffling between good and great.
Third down.
Yeah. It's pretty sure. I don't know if I've had like a great yet.
I feel like good is probably the right one for you, because I get the feeling like this is not necessarily your speed.
It is actually. I love the Yakuza stuff because I love the ground level stuff. I love Yakuza stuff. I love punching as a means of fighting things. but he's got cool bullet punching instead of Deku's dumb just regular punching.
Yeah.
Like I like that it's like he's got a cool arm. Like there's a lot of things that I am in particularly jazzed about because of what it is and the whole like oh there's all these different families and their adoption and the number like they've set up a lot of things that are candy for my brain. So I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna say great. I'm excited. Like right. I finish this, I'm like, this is fantastic. I'm excited to read this next week. Like I stated that out loud in my bedroom when I finished reading it. So I'm gonna go with great.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe your tastes are changing a little bit.
I think you just didn't know I liked Yakuza stuff and punch.
No, I definitely know you like Yakuza stuff. No, I'm.
What about it?
If you boil it down to Yakuza and punching, yeah. Then yes, okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like there's more to it that's going on.
Yeah, it's well made, but when something is well made and has, it's what MMA was. MMA was well made and had things were very geared towards me, so like a lot of other things can be forgiven because it gave me what I wanted in a generally acceptable package.
Yeah.
So, and then the last little piece is I'm updating, would you keep reading it? Because we need more stakes with that, because it's really easy to say yes. So the updated to will you keep reading is, if you had to pay money to buy the first Tankobon of this series, would you spend money on it to read it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Not to buy the chapters individually, not to pay the subscription fee. If the only way to get at it was to go to the bookstore and buy a Tankobon of it, would you go buy that Tankobon?
And I have to decide that off the first chapter.
Yep. Isn't that so much more interesting? Because we're all in the death cult. Who cares? Of course we're going to keep reading it, idiot.
Well, except for...
except for some of those, yeah, admittedly. But this felt like we came into this conversation with something else, and it felt like the perfect gun to your head. Would you keep reading this? Will you slap $10 on the counter, and by that I mean your credit card, when you go to Barnes & Noble to buy the first Tankobon of... Astro Royale.
That's really hard because...
Yeah, see?
Here's the thing. If I'm walking around in Barnes & Noble and I pick this up off the shelf and I look at the cover...
And you read the first chapter.
If I just look at the cover, I probably wouldn't open it.
Yep.
The cover did not do anything for me.
The cover reminded me of series that I've heard Shonen Flop cover.
Yeah. Now, if I picked it up and I went... Oh, Astro Royale. I remember so-and-so said that they liked this. I'll read the first chapter. And then I read the first chapter. I go, yeah, I'll buy this. I'll read this first one and see if I'm into it.
So you did, but you have no recommendation because there's only one chapter.
Right.
You've gone to Barnes & Noble. You picked it up. You read the first chapter in the store.
The recommendation got me to read the first chapter.
Okay.
And from the first chapter, I went, okay.
I'm recommending to read it to you, Brad, because you have to read it for the podcast.
So I guess the answer is yes, I would buy the first Tankobon.
Yes, same. I don't know. The moment we found out, like, I'm like, once money is involved, money for a singular object, that made instantly the stakes became, oh, that's crystal clear. You know in your brain, there's no, like, I guess I'll read it for this or I'll give it how many chapters. When, like, not just more than subscription money, when money comes on the table, decisions are made.
Now, I will say,
that's the thought process.
That's a different level of commitment for a lot of different people, though. Because, for me, $10 is basically nothing. So if someone says, you know, $10 for this thing that you enjoyed at least part of.
But so is people's ability to put up with reading garbage they want to read or not. Yeah. So I just like the gun to your head energy of, would you pay money to buy this physically in a store based?
Yeah, no,
store?
And I think
that will generate so much more compelling discussion.
I think it's an interesting thought experiment. Just saying, we have to keep that in mind. We talk to people on the Discord that $10 is a much bigger commitment than it is for us.
Of course. And that'll make, when they finally say yes, even more incredible or show how much they like something. So, like I said, I think it's like that brass tacksiness is what really clicks the brain into, I have to make a decision. So, yeah, that has been Astro Royale. We are fairly positive on it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where this goes. I got depressed about Jump after doing that panel and seeing how much stuff in it was like, oh gosh. And so, now it's fun to see new seeds get planted and going like, yeah, I've got hope. I've got sunshine. This is great.
I did want to bring one last thing up.
Oh.
So they started on Shonen Flop Discord.
People are not about it.
They started a new thread.
Yep.
And I was just going to like pop in there, not really read anything, just put a little note that said, I'll be back later tonight because we have to record first and I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
And I opened it and the first thing I saw was someone was like, this is a flop.
I know.
And I was like, no.
Same exact thing. And I'm like, why are everybody getting down on this? This is nice. This is pleasant.
So I have a feeling we might need to go in there a little later and start arguing.
Usually it's just you coming in and going, this wasn't that, like, that's what you were a champion in early Mama Yu for that.
Yeah.
You turned it, and admittedly, like,
it turned around.
It did turn around.
I mean, still wasn't good, but it turned around.
It was a frustrating, in the way that you get annoyed at a child that you believe can do better and isn't.
Yeah.
But still has bits of potential. That was Mama Yu Yu. Yeah. We need to do an autopsy on Mama Yu Yu at some point. But yes, everybody, thank you for listening. And Brad, hit me with the plugs. It is so hard to not say plug me up. I don't know why. Just
please don't.
It's bad. Fill me full. One of the things I was experimenting with was, Brad, fill me full of lead, except saying it less silly.
Well, as always, we want to thank Segoy Mart for partnering with us. Sogoi Mart's a retailer of Japanese snacks, drinks, toys, and merch. They have lots of cool stuff you can't get outside Japan. Our listeners can check the link in the description or use code APR15 at checkout to get 15% off their first order, which also helps us out. You can let us know what you think on social media, which you can find links for on our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com, and where you can also leave comments about these podcast episodes. We've got a Discord where you can chat with us. And don't forget to check out our Patreon. Supporters get perks like getting to vote on which series to cover on heroin addiction, as well as getting the high-quality stereo version of the podcast early, and bonus episodes. Don't miss those. The lowest tier is only $1. And, you know, we'd love to hear what perks people would like, so let us know. And, of course, we need to shout out our patrons. At the Reincarnator tier, we've got Cake Dwarf and Moon. At the Merchant tier, we've got Kill Hour. And last but not least, at the Commoner tier, we've got Rena. So thanks to all our patrons.
Thank you, Brad, for that. And thank you, everybody, for listening again. Make sure you listen to the Mainline podcast, That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime podcast here. And, Brad, maybe if I hold the microphone when the meteor comes, I can wish that we are the best manga podcast out there. The only son of the Yotsurugi families. Is that boss? It says the only son of Yotsurugi families, Booze. B-O-O-S.
Oh, damn it.
We'll edit that. I'm gonna take another run at it.
It does say that. Why does it?
But do you mean...
It's boss.
Boss. Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to be sure. I'm going to take a run at that bullet point again.
Just do the only son of...
We then get a much less far flashback to when Tongo was about to die. Hibaru and Teresu rush to the hospital and are the only ones in the room as Tongo... it's Tongo. No, it's Hongo. Congo!
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to reread that then. We then get a much less far flashback to when Tongo... Fuck. Hongo. Congo!
Congo.
Congo. Oi! Congo!
We're already the best...
It's that and then the sound of a meteor impacting the house. The original one was maybe if I hold the mic when the thing comes, I can become even louder. And I was just going to start speaking loud. I'm like, that's not pleasant for the listener to listen to if they've got, or future me with the headphones on. So I went for that. I'm hopeful. This manga makes me hopeful.
So Kermit, nice to have. I've got this token for you that we'll share as brothers to become the heads of our... Oh, what's that up there in the sky?